Good afternoon, brethren, and happy Sabbath to all of you. I must admit, I feel like an imposter today. David Archer's supposed to be up here and said, sorry for hijacking your spot. Hello to you, Dave, and hope you get well soon and join us. Greetings to all of those of you online. If there's an issue with the webcast or the sound, please text Anna's phone. Mine's up. When Christ was on the earth, he left us many beautiful sayings and many words of wisdom that are recorded for us eternally in Scripture. One of those is found in his very first sermon recorded in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. As, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What does it mean to be pure in heart? The commentaries talk about purity, ethical, immoral, cleanliness, and other things. But they're really soft on what this verse actually means. That shouldn't be surprising. Commentaries sometimes go astray. But if we look into some certain scriptures and use the Bible as our base to interpret the scripture with, we learn a lot of, frankly, interesting things. So today, that's what we're going to explore. What does it mean to be pure in heart? Start first in Psalm chapter 24. In verses 3 through 4. Psalm 24, verses 3 through 4. What does it mean to be pure in heart? Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? That's an Old Testament translation for the kingdom of God. Or who may stand in his holy place, his holy temple? Verse 4 answers the question for us. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. You want to know what it is to be standing before God? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart. These are the people who shall see God. As I was thinking about this, it reminded me of two things found in Proverbs 22:6. I'm just going to reference it. We won't turn there. Those are the seven things that are listed as an abomination to God. Two of them are hands that shed innocent blood and a heart that devises wicked plans. So these definitely do not fit the definition of Psalm 24 of clean hands and a pure heart. Why does God want a pure heart? Why is this important to him? Well, for one, God himself is pure. His word is pure. His commandment is just and righteous. Let's go on to verses 4, continue with the last part of verse 4 down to verse 6. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor has sworn deceitfully. And notice what these receive in verse 5. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So those who are pure in heart receive blessing from God and righteousness. Does this make us special? I think so, in a way. Those who are willing to walk a way of life, to live a way of life, will stand before God. Hold your finger here. We'll come right back. I want to note Psalm 27, since we're in the neighborhood, we'll just flip over and read it. Psalm 27, verse 8. Which says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. God gave the command to seek my face. And the heart responded, Lord, your face I will seek. It's a beautiful parallel. As we all know, what is the first and great commandment in the law? You shall love the Lord with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your might. This fits right into the first commandment. Love God with all of your heart, everything we have. For God is most interested in our hearts. And we're going to see this at the end of the sermonette. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Let's go there. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Fits into this discussion very nicely. Make sure I'm in 1 Timothy and not 2nd. To 1 and verse 5. Now the purpose of the commandment is what? Love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Would it be that part of the reason God gave us his holy word, his holy commandments, is so that it might build within us love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith? That's an interesting concept. If God is pure, why shouldn't he expect the same from us? Notice, too, that conscience and sincere faith are added with love from a pure heart. This truly illustrates the first and great commandment. We also see this in God's word as love, purity. Another good illustration that God gave us in this regard is found in the book of Deuteronomy, which we know is a good book to read during this time of year for the time of the feast. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. We'll see something most interesting in here. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Spoiler alert for those of you that haven't read that far in Deuteronomy yet. Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 through 3. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you. So basically he's talking about being in captivity. And when you finally wake up and you remember why it is that you were here in the first place, this is what God says. And you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice, and according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul. There's that phrase again, with all your heart and with all your soul. That the Lord God will bring you back again from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. So God is framing this in the context of his people being in captivity and coming back again. Now, all through Scripture, and in Deuteronomy, especially in the first part of the book, and other places, Romans 2, God says, circumcise your heart. Circumcise your heart and be stiff-necked no longer, is found in Deuteronomy. The impetus was on you, circumcising your heart. Christ talked often about those who were uncircumcised in heart and how the New Testament church came to be circumcised in heart. It's all over the Bible. But notice the instruction that he gives us in verse 5. It's very interesting. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants. That's an interesting verse, because this time God will circumcise the heart and the heart of your descendants. That's a multi-generational promise that God didn't make before. He said, I will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. There's that phrase again. Reminds me of other scriptures that say, and I will put with you a new heart. I will make with you a new covenant. I will take the heart of stone out of you and give you a heart of flesh, and I will engrave my law upon your hearts. So I find it interesting that God will circumcise the hearts and the hearts of the descendants. Let's keep going down into verse 7 through 9. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on all those who hate you, who persecuted you. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand and the fruit of your body and the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you as he has rejoiced over your fathers. And then we come to verse 10. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind, and with all your soul, with all your heart and with all your soul. So within four verses, we've basically repeated this phrase three times, platitude or some feel-good saying. It's a walk. It's a way of life. It's a way of living. A pure heart takes into intent most of the first and great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Being pure in heart is something we should strive to seek to live. Our example stands out for all to see that these are they who will stand before God.